20 more minutes.
No, we have nothing else to talk about.
lock the door.
That would be bad. Well, because...
We'll interview the dogs.
No kidding. Hey, so second hour of We the People. Thanks for sticking with us here. And kind of an interesting topic today, you know, city government. And everybody lives someplace, and you're all paying taxes. And that's the bottom line. We're all paying taxes. And you want to make sure that the tax money you pay... I mean, you know, my mom's like, well, honey, they need the money, you know, in the city where she lives. And I'm like, Mom, they're just going to waste it. And that's terrible, but 9 times out of 10, that's kind of what happens, you know, it just gets kind of wasted. So, you know, what's real, what's not? You have crime problems, need more police, need more fire, all those things. But is that real? Or is that just where you put pressure on the public to get a tax increase so you can waste it out the back door on some of these other things? Accountability problems all the way around.
You know,
so,
for my 8 years on council, you know, when I first got elected, I had no idea, you know, and I'm pretty sure I was probably similar to, and I sat out in those meetings for 4 years and did my homework the best that I could, but I had no idea what was coming up. But I learned a lot in the very first 6 months. We had one of our top directors going to be possibly retiring in 6 months, or at least he'd be eligible. And so I asked our city manager, Kurt Starman, is he going to stay? Is this person going to stay or going to leave? Well, we don't know. It's his decision. I said, well, shouldn't we know? We should know. I would think we would want to know so that we could train a new guy.
Yeah,
so that he's kind of, so we have a nice, I think
planning.
That would be best for the city, you know. And they said, nah, I just got to let it go. And so I started talking it up the next couple of days, and, oh, I got an earful, and Kurt called me and yelling at me, hey, you got to let it go. It's his decision. I said, well, no, we're the employee. You know, we're the employer. He's the employee. And I just don't understand why you think that would be good for the city. But, you know, I'm new. I just got on council a few months ago, so you guys go do what you want. So 6 months comes and goes, and Kurt comes to us and says, you know, it's a really tough time in the city's history, and we really need this position, this person at this position. For another year. And we said, fine, for a 20% pay increase.
Oh.
Oh, I was pissed. Because what Kurt Starman did, was he conspired with this individual and put the city and that department at risk over money. And they knew it. And when I asked about it, that's why they jumped all over me 6 months before, because they needed to put us in this hole and not have too many other options so that we paid the 20% higher, spiking his salary for the rest of his life. Well, council told him no. And Kurt then turned around and gave this person a promotion in another department. And he had authority to do so. So that was my first 6 months on City Hall. And so when I saw stuff like that, I said, you know, that's wrong. I mean, that's just plain wrong. You put the city at risk. You really lied, misled council. And you did it to her. In a way that was going to put pressure on the people paying taxes, because there was no need for that. These people are pretty well paid in these top positions. He didn't need the 20% more. But because other people had got it in the past, well, then he should get it too. And that was my first 6 months at City Hall. And so from that moment on, I thought, all right, this will be a bit of a hostile environment for me, because I don't like that. And I work for the people. I work for, at that time, 93,000 people. And we can do better than that. And unfortunately, I can't talk a lot about that stuff because a lot of it was closed session.
Yeah, let's get to some of that, because I want to get into some of the union thing, because people who are not, you know, they don't grow up in a union house or know about that. That's kind of confusing, and Bob reminded me that we never told anyone who we are. And we started the second
who
hour.
Is this guy?
We're just like, you know, the horse is out of the barn, let's keep running. So you're listening to We the People. This is the second hour, so if you missed the first hour, you'll have to go back and listen to that. But my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundy.
And I'm Ken Murray.
Oh my God! we need the sound of the radio, the record needle dragging across the thing.
And I'm Patrick Jones.
Ken, you did a wonderful job filling it for Carl last week.
Oh my gosh, how bizarre! And Bob Martin
I'm
brings us
Bob
all
Martin.
our music. So Patrick was on city council for 8 years. Worked in his family's gun shop since he was four. So he's been there for a long time, been a business owner for a long time. And so it's very difficult when you've been in private industry to transition to that government side, because if you did any of the, you know, a lot of these things in private industry, holy cow, you'd blow up in 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, there is what you don't see. And again, I went to many, many meetings. I made every meeting for 12 years consecutively, never missed a meeting. In fact, I went to more meetings during my time than anybody did at City Hall. And it was important to me because if I got elected to do a job, I needed to do that job. So I made sure that I was there for every meeting, read every staff report, and read them twice usually, and sometimes more. But it was very, very different than private sector. And what I learned was that staff, particularly the city manager and assistant city manager, they're masters at dealing with the council and to handle the council, to make sure that they're felt like they are knowledgeable, that they are leaders, and that they are important, and that they're part of a team. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for me, my team is 90,000 people, not this city staff environment team. That's not my team. Those people work for me, and I work for the people. But they try to get you into a different mindset, and they do. They do it.
And in our city, it's a part-time council. It's right. $600 a month or something?
Yeah, your take-home's about $502.
Okay, so it's not like you can quit your job and go do this you know, still pay your bills.
In my day, most people ran for city council because they got about a $28,000 health care, vision, dental, and health care for the rest of your life if you did 5 years on the council. Most of them did it for that. I turned it all down. I never took any CalPERS or PARS or nothing. I didn't want to be involved in it.
All the retirement system and all that.
Right. I didn't want any of that. And I wanted to be separate. I didn't think that the taxpayers needed to pay for that for me. I'm here to work for the people. And I think me and Gary Cadd were the only two council members that ever turned it down. And they really encouraged me not to do that. Everybody encouraged me to take it because they want you to be part of the team, right?
Sure, sure.
And I didn't want to be a part
of
this team.
Come on, wear the uniform. You'll like it. It's soft.
The team for me, you know, for me, from day one, I really remembered why I was there. I worked for 93,000 people, and within my first few months at City Hall, I could see what management was doing and that they were working on making sure the team and the group is happy financially and that they're all together, unified, and very loyal. And they have a very group of loyal people that you can count on them, and the city can count on that group. And it was just not what I was used to.
You can't possibly elect five. There are five people on our city council.
Correct.
And I don't know if that's standard. Is that?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Kind of.
Yeah. Some bigger cities are seven, but five's common.
And our mayor is a kind of a rotating position. It's not an elected position.
He has no authority other than one vote as a council
member. But when you get into the bigger cities, that changes, doesn't it? I mean, you have a strong mayor.
Correct.
Which means your staff.
You vote for the mayor.
Right.
Yeah.
And your mayor is your top person. See, right now in the city of Reading, your city manager is the top. He is your top official, essentially, and he's the most powerful person in Reading.
Sure.
And he controls that council. Now, you're right. If you have five people, how could he possibly control all five, right?
No, well, what
and
I was going to say
elected
is
position.
You right. have five people that come from all different parts of the universe.
Correct.
You know, getting paid $500, so most of them are either retired or they're working, at
correct.
Which point they don't work at the city 40 hours a week. So you can't possibly know all the ins and outs of that. So you do have to count on the staff. So if there's sort of a, I guess if you're the figurehead, if you wind up being a figurehead, how can you ever be effective?
Well, and it's tough because, you know, these guys know everything inside and out, right? They know the
sure.
specific details and we know nothing. So we have to learn as we go. So it takes years to get up to speed to see, are they doing it right or are they mm-hmm. doing it wrong? My job was to scrutinize everybody with what I saw in the first 6 months. It was pretty obvious that I have to scrutinize everything. I trust no one there, that I'm going to determine whether this is right or wrong, and I just don't trust them. Now, for me, that means I really should terminate, you know, if I had an option. I don't believe that was the right city manager if I don't trust that person. And that's why I quickly came to the conclusion that I wanted that city manager terminated. But I had no three votes to be
right.
able to do so. And
right.
people eventually found that out. Oh, you want to fire Starman? And said, well, yeah, you know, I don't believe he's good for Reading. And I think history will prove that.
Why would people just kind of to get into some of the mindset of what
goes
on?
And to see this is how bad it was when you start differing, as I did with city staff, and start voting no on many things, we become dysfunctional. That was the word they used for me, is that you guys, this council is dysfunctional because you guys don't all think alike. And so they get the chamber and the builders and the realtors to all come forward, and maybe not all those groups, but some groups come forward,
sure.
And they call us dysfunctional. I think Frank Strazzarino over at the chamber called me dysfunctional, and because we differed on ideas,
mm-hmm.
and particularly fiduciary responsibilities. And
and so by demonizing and marginalizing you, it tells the public who – now if you go down the – I guess if you're looking at the sliding scale of who doesn't know anything – the city council still knows more than the public because they're spending zero time learning.
You've never
all
heard
this.
The word dysfunctional today because most of the votes are 5-0s, occasionally
right.
a 4-1, but yep. mostly 5-0s. So they're not dysfunctional, right? If these people all agree, then staff must be right, and that's the game.
That's the mm-hmm. that's the picture they
so
want to present.
How does that change? Do you get a strong mayor and
well, we tried that. We looked at a
I know they
charter city, which
right.
Well, and of course the idea here is that when you have these groups that are going to financially support candidates and get them there and put a lot of money in, groups come behind and get these people there, you're probably not getting what you think you're getting. You're getting a polished, slick speaker that's probably extremely good at double talk. And the public, I don't blame the public because we only know what we see on the radio,
exactly.
what we hear on the radio, and what
right.
we see on TV.
And if the newspaper isn't digging into anything,
right.
things are going on and they're not. I mean, that's really where your education about your city,
right.
you would think.
You
that would
think.
Be kind of where it would
My last
come
run,
from.
Which I lost for council in 2014 when I tried to get reelected for a third, for my third term, people come up to me and said, I see other people's ads much more. And I said, well, yeah, they got, $70,000-$80,000 mm-hmm. to my $25,000. Yeah, they're going to get three times more everything. They're going to get more pamphlets out. I said, now, I'm walking neighborhoods more than anybody. That they're not outdoing me on, but they can outdo me on money. And they did. And it was successful and it works. And
look where that money came from.
Well, because people wanted everybody to just get along.
Right.
So if we get rid of the guy that seems to have the problem,
sure.
that doesn't mean there is a problem. That just means we just need to get rid of the guy that has the problem.
Then we can really get stuff done.
Well, I mean, it's such a faulty logic.
Well, we're talking about some real serious problems that need to be corrected. People don't want to hear that, right? They want to hear about, hey, we just bought a new park and we're going to fix it up and we're doing this other trail. They want to hear about fun things. Hey, I got a bike. I'm going to sponsor a bike ride. I want to do those things, or a slide. I'm going to do a slippery slide over here on,
oh my gosh,
Shasta
the slippery
Street.
Slide.
They want to hear those fun things. And the problem is we have serious issues that need to be addressed. And when you start talking about those and you differ with staff, now you're demonized. And that's what happened to a couple of us, me and Gary mostly.
But it doesn't actually make the problem go away.
No, and the problem
when we come
really
back, we need
back.
To talk about the union thing because that's a big, big factor in the politics of it all, the pressure of it, I guess.
Yes.
A lot of that and the money. There's a lot of money behind that. And everybody's town's got unions, so that'll be useful for other folks. Okay. Well, I don't think we messed that part up too bad, boys. Good job. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And that's not how you should have to learn about your city through the grapevine. And that's unfortunately kind of what happens.
Sure. Well, you're not going to, the paper does such a poor job about really printing both sides or just
right.
put information out, let people make up their decision and make their own minds up. And people are capable of making their own decision if they have the information. But, I don't blame the public because you only know what what you're going to get there.
Sure. Right.
And if only one person comes forward and says something different, then that person's a nut. He's nutty.
And it might be just you.
Right.
Right.
You know, and many people fear retaliation here, you know, that if you come out and speak against something that you'll be retaliated against, and it's strong and it's real, whether people believe it or not, it's real. And one way to go prove it, go do it and see how
that works out. So the city negotiates with 11 different unions.
The bargaining groups, yes, and unions, yes.
Okay, I don't. What's
well, some aren't unions; they're just a group of organizers. They're you know miscellaneous or various things. They're not all unionized, but
so I mean the ones that like just.
But the big ones are you know you have
that we know you have police, you have
police,
fire,
correct, and you have SEIU.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have IBEW,
which is.
International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Electrical workers, there
and they're very powerful. So in the rank of things, you know, police and fire are very powerful. IBEW is pretty powerful. SEIU, clerical and so forth, is not as powerful, but they have a lot of numbers.
And those are people who,
you know, they do payroll and various other things.
Okay,
you know, so a lot of different unions there, a lot of different groups, and we council members never deal with them directly. So we,
oh.
Yeah, and so I hated it, to be honest, because I can't look at you in the eye and say, this is what I think is good for the people of Reading, and then we could have this talk. So we make a decision, three people, three votes, in closed session, and then staff then takes that information, and they deal with the union. So hopefully they got the point across in the manner that we did, but have no idea.
Right.
And so how do you have a good relationship?
And none of that is in the public, though, right?
Correct.
None of this happens in a city council
all
meeting. It's
session.
All closed session.
Right. And so we never really get a talk to the union reps or any of that.
So
staff
there's no
that.
Union involved in closed session.
Correct. It's us talking to staff.
Right.
That's it.
About what staff. They're going to go talk to the
right.
other guys about.
For example, typically when a contract ends and a new contract comes up with, say, IBEW, for example, you know, they throw out their laundry list. Here's 32 new things I want, and many of them have costs associated with it. We want this. We want this. This group wants this, that, so forth.
Better health care? What are we talking about?
Well, like, yeah. We want pay increases. In uh-huh. these categories, we want to change what we pay for, you know, healthcare, vision, or this or that, or we want a uniform allowance improved. We want triple time pay for holidays. I mean, a whole list of different things that people will ask for, and so then we have to whatever they throw out, we have to try to see if that's warranted, and essentially. If we gave everything that they wanted, you know, clearly we'd be broke.
But you're making those decisions based on what the city manager thinks he can get. So he's actually
So here you have the fox in the hen house.
Exactly.
Because he's at the top of the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do, you know, it makes it pretty tough. And, you know, he stays pretty quiet on all that stuff, you know, but the reality is that's the truth, is that how can you really have good negotiations when there's people in that room that that all the department heads and city managers, assistant city managers, that they're at the top of that scale. So anything that happens down below in a positive
that's
upward
true.
Manner affects them in a positive upward manner. And so they are encouraging to some degree those things, some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody asks for a 34% pay increase, does staff often, you know, approve that or recommend that? Often not. Sometimes they do. And I was pretty happy in my time that we were able, on a few occasions, three or four times, we had enough council support to disagree with staff's recommendation and take a different course. And one of those issues was having employees pay 7 or 9% towards retirement. We'd been paying 100% retirement. We needed some cash. You know, we needed to control our spending a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it out to the vote of the people. And the public backed us up on that. Of course, what does staff do? Shortly thereafter, we had a change in council members or council members' thinking. And so they gave some of them pay raises to compensate for all of that. So we went backwards.
Right, right.
And in some cases, the pay raises were in excess of the 9%. And, you know, when you see that kind of stuff, and it's, again, it's not brought out in the paper that way. And so the public, the employees can come forward and say, you know, we pay 9% of our, you know, retirement here. Well, the reality is you don't, because you got to pay a raise to compensate for that and then some.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe not all of them got it because there's so many different bargaining groups, but what I was always concerned with is when you do something with one group, all the other groups are looking at it and they all want
sure.
it. And so I was very much on the side of I'm going to be very cautious because it's not going to just be you. It's and rightfully so. If you get something, then everybody else should probably get it too. And can we afford it? And when I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at our costs and I see our costs continuing to rise, I'm saying I can't give raises to anybody at all.
And how does just for like frame of reference, if you were doing these types, because I know back in I think it was 2010, there the whole matrix of pay was released for all right. the different jobs, mm-hmm. and there were a few that like boggled my mind. Like the person that ran the box office at the Civic Auditorium. I mean, and how many things did we have there per year back then? Like sure. six, seven? I mean, honestly, it was like less than 10, and they were making upwards mid $70,000 a year.
Sure.
Well, I thought, well, what in the devil are we doing?
Again, you want your organization to be all happy and to be loyal. And so it's the whole organization from the bottom, from your janitor one, all the way to the top.
Yeah, because there were garbage truck drivers that were in the $85,000 range.
Sure. I'm going to give you a bad example. I mean, it's not a bad example. It's a very good example, actually.
An egregious example?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. We've got, you know, in the fire department, for example. And our fire guys are good guys. I like the fire guys.
But everybody
you know?
Was a... engineer or chief or
well,
something,
you're,
wasn't that
you're pretty
deal?
Heavy on the scale, for sure. You know, you're kind of heavy, lacking firefighters and heavy on captains and so forth.
That's it, captains.
But when you look at the total pay, the cost, as an average, and there's about 80 of them roughly, you're paying as a taxpayer $183,000 per. Well, that really affects how many firefighters and captains and engineers that mm-hmm. we can have, and it really hurts us to be able to properly staff those engines. And I can guarantee you it shouldn't be that way, but it is because of the effectiveness of the unions with the candidates and then, you know, the city, the employees and with the elected officials. When you're endorsed by fire or police, you're not going to say no to them.
Oh, right.
Now, I did, and man, I am on the list, and it's not the Christmas list.
But how
it's
does that, list. How does, I'm sure you guys have looked at it, how do we compare to other cities with yeah. with their employees in those same positions? Are we kind
well,
of within the scale, or
well, we're always on the scale somewhere along that well, line. But with the police department, for example, we're the fifth highest paid police department in the nation. So
in the nation,
in the nation.
Wow.
So you have to look at that,
and they think they need more money.
Well, they always want to raise. They don't want to decrease, that's for sure. That's just human nature. But the reality is you're not controlling your costs and your spending. And so if you really looked at these details, you know, the police and the fire, they eat up 65% of the general fund for 250 people. They eat up the lion's share of it. Now, in any private sector business, you'd
say... It's only 250 people?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Holy cow.
And they eat up 65%. So when you look at that, you really got to go... say, hey, we got to reduce our costs, right? We have to do that. Never did staff ever make those types of recommendations, ever. They were going to bow down to those unions, and it's why you don't have the correct number of police and firefighters on the street is because they will not and have not controlled their costs.
And so if you're paying everybody too much, you have some really, really well-paid guys, but right. not, you know, too
but
many
again,
chiefs,
gets,
not enough Indians.
It gets back to right. if you're paying... these guys at this scale, everything...
Right. Everybody kind of, goes up.
Everybody goes up.
So we got some really wow. big problems there. And here's, when you look at all the city employees, you know, the worst... And I, you know, most people, when they looked, when the paper did occasionally print all the employees' pay, most people looked at the city manager making, you know, over $220,000, and his total cost to the taxpayers, like $328,000, something like that. That's pretty outrageous. But look all the way down at the bottom. And what really should be shocking is your janitor, one, your lowest paid city employee is costing you, the taxpayer, about $55,000 a year, and everybody else above that.
And again, how does that compare to other cities?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it's
how does
bad.
That compare to the free world? Can you imagine?
And you know,
a company, you know, a corporation,
yeah, paying their janitor $55,000 a year.
The custodian,
you know, and I don't
000.
Know about all these other big cities and whatnot, but I know we can't afford that here in Redding, California, where the average medium income is about $35,000 a year.
Right.
And so when I see those kinds of numbers, I say we have to make yeah. some changes.
And you have to look at that. You can't right. really compare our cost of living with right. other cities' cost of living, and that has to be reflected in the
And
salaries.
So then when you go to the unions and say, man, I'm going to have some money back, you know, and it's going to be ultimately good for the union in that we're going to have more people, it's going to be safer, you know, but that is not how it's going to get viewed, and you're going to be on a list that you're not going to like. They will fight hard to endorse and pay money to other candidates and get you removed. because they don't. They need you to say yes. And so, really, ultimately, if we're really going to fix things around here, we really need to fix those types of problems where these unions have big, influence on candidates, either through financial means or otherwise, and that's affecting the decisions that they make that are bad decisions at City Hall that are costing you an enormous amount of money. Does it really take $183,000 to have one firefighter, roughly? It's wrong. And I guarantee you I could cut that in half and have quality men and have twice the employment and cover the pension costs.
Right.
But you want to take on firefighters? I mean, that's political science 101. Do not take on police and fire. And,
right.
But you have to if you want to do it right. And so for any candidates, like we have a recall coming, and for any candidates, you know, if that recall is successful, people will throw their names in the hat. Well, you better be ready. If you're really wanting to do this job, you better be ready to take on some of these unions and get these costs under control. And you know, particularly with public safety, it is an unbelievable job because that's where your costs are at. Right. That's where the problem's at.
But the flip side is you need their support in order to get elected.
Usually, if you don't have it, you don't get it.
You're spending $5,000 for advertising and getting the word out where the other guy is spending $100,000.
It's a wicked game.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, money talks.
Right. You know, that's why I ran and ran and ran. It took me 3 times to get on council, doing it on a shoestring, and eventually was successful. But most people don't have the time and patience to do that, like I did and like Gary Catt did. You know, for the guys that were good, I remember the paper's endorsement. They endorsed everybody but me and Mike Quinn. And I really believe me and Mike Quinn were the guys that would do the job.
And Mike had all the math on
Reading Electric Utility. He would have done well. And the paper endorses all the others and says they do not support Jones and Quinn. And that's exactly the opposite, I believe, if you want to fix problems. Now, others may disagree, which it's a free world, but free country anyways. But that's the reality. And that swayed a few thousand votes, and that means a lot in local elections.
Sure.
And it's not everything, but it's a part of it. And so how do you get the truth to the public? Well, when we'd sit down with people, individuals, one-on-one, they'd go, man, I get it. But, you know, do you have the time to sit down with 14,000 people individually?
See, that's the thing.
That's the
and
problem.
If the newspaper won't, and I don't know, I don't think that many people buy the newspaper, so I'm not.
Hopefully, nobody does.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're that great a factor. However, they could be a source of information for people, and really, they kind of are a source of burying stuff.
Well, it was once a good paper, you know, and it can be a good paper again if they want to start printing the truth and print both sides. Their readership will improve. They'll make more money, and they'll be honest with the public.
Right.
You know, and just print the truth and let people make the decisions.
How many people do you, and I know it's not a number we can actually quantify, but what percentage of the city of Reading, residents of the city of Reading, do you think have any clue about any of this stuff that's going on?
It's a small percent. You know, for most people that I talk to, some have a little knowledge. There's a few that have a lot. You know, the guys that are work in and around City Hall, they do business with the city. They've been around for a long time. They get the ideas. They understand some of the problems and the issues. And if some of these financial guys, when they see the numbers, they understand the issue. But the average person, what you read in the paper, and you got kids to raise, you got white fence to paint, you got the mortgage to pay. You're just not going to know, right? You got too many other things that you're doing to know who's the right person there. It's not your thing. And I was guilty of that in the 90s. I didn't know one council member from an ex. Didn't care.
Yeah, no, neither did I.
Oh, and I think the whole political scene has changed dramatically in the last 10 years or so. People are starting to wake up.
And they're upset. They're upset with our city going down the tubes. Mm-hmm. They're upset because the financial mismanagement of our city and the increasing crime that's not being dealt with that can. These are all fixable and solvable problems, but you better have some people that basically have some balls. I mean, and that's what it's going to take.
Well, since this recall has kind of gone public, there seems to be a little bit more of an effort of keeping some of the, riffraff off the streets, I guess, if you will.
They do a little bit more just because of its you know, there's always an issue. You know, right now it's certainly crime. Before it was roads and various things. And so they'll work on paving a few roads to show that they're paving roads. We're still $40-something million down on road repair. But they'll do stuff to try to show the public that they're addressing the issue. And the reality is it's only a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so the recall comes up here pretty soon, right?
Yes.
So we have this recall. What do you think that's going to do? Think it'll kind of scare people into paying attention?
I'm all for it. I think these people and others should be recalled, to be honest, for the lack of doing their job.
Yeah.
So I hope people do sign the recall, and then I encourage anybody that really wants to work hard for the public to put their name in the hat, and I support the group that's getting those signatures. It's a lot of work. It's hard.
Sure.
It's a thankless job, and they're doing a good job, and. So I'm hopeful about it, and I think it is definitely sending a message at City Hall that we're so disappointed.
We're willing to go to the effort to
that people are coming forward, taking time out of their lives to gather these signatures.
So. Because we're looking at going into deficit spending.
Well, they're going to have to cut employees. I mean, they're not going to go bankrupt in the next couple of years, but the general fund monies could be shrinking. They will shrink, and they're going to have to make some changes, and that means most likely people will lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. And I can take a couple calls that I have to go fairly soon.
Okay, that's exactly what we have is two calls.
All right,
who do we have first? Billy Bob?
Billy Bob.
Fire away.
Billy Bob, you're on.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. Through the miracle
good show.
Of technology.
Bill. Patrick, I just wanted to call in. You prompted my absolute respect for you in what you've done for the city and how smart-thinking and independent you are. I don't know. I wish that you would run again for that city council seat. We got to have you there. Gary Catt, do the same. We got to have some people like you in there. So anyway.
Well,
thank you again for all your services.
Well, I appreciate it, Billy. And you never know. Every once in a while,
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, things have happened. I'm not quite 50 yet, but feeling it. Time will tell.
All right. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, that's a tall order to line yourself up, because in your case, you know what you're in for.
Yeah, and I did 12 years down there, eight on council, and I worked hard for 12 years, and so I know what it takes. And and the problem is larger now than it was when I was there, and it shouldn't have been, but it is. And so it is a big problem, and I know the stress that a person's going to have to go through. And so it's a daunting task, and it's not about the money. It's about fixing our city, because this is our city.
Right.
And that's what tempts me.
We're all paying for it. It's not like we're all getting some kind of a discount.
That's what drives me. If I ever did it, it's because I believe in our city, and I believe in the people that are here, and I believe they deserve to have a well-run city government, which they're not getting right now.
All right, and so we have Nick.
Hey.
Hi.
I wanted to ask Patrick a question. I'm wondering who of the two was the best at deceiving, misleading, and molding the council to their decisions. Would it be Mike Warren or Kurt Starman?
Well, both are very similar. Mike was the master at it, and he taught Kurt, and the two were very exceptionally good about controlling city council. They were exceptional at it, and they went to school in Sacramento to learn how to do it, and they were masters at it. Mike was probably better than Kurt, but Kurt was awfully good, and that is really, when you look at them, when you look at those two city managers, that is the thing that they must have in order to carry out their plans for the city. They must have a unified council. And for most of the time, they got it. Now, me and Gary Cadd may have been the exception to that, but Mike Warren and Kurt, those two together is what started us on this path. Mike started it, and Kurt's finishing it.
Do you recall the city council had hired Mike Warren? In my opinion, they should be ashamed of themselves.
They probably are. I mean, it probably goes back to David McGeorge maybe Mark Sabila and a few of those guys back in the time. And it may have even been a little bit before that. So it might have been in the mid-90s, I think. And so you might even have to go back a little bit more to maybe Mike Dahl or someone in that time period.
Put us on this trail? Is that what you're
right.
saying?
Right. Okay. Hire that type of person. To say basically the mentality was, okay, you're a little podunk nothing town, and we're going to make you bright and shiny and make you something that you're not. And the reality is, we're not a podunk town. We're a nice town. We're a great town, and city government just needs to take care of the fundamentals of what government is about and leave the rest to the public.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, guys. I do have to get going now.
No sweat.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys, for what you do, and you know, and we'll all just keep plugging away.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
well, this
it.
Isn't
away.
This isn't only happening in Redding, California.
No, I'm
this
sure
this is
not.
Absolutely happening elsewhere.
Yes.
And if we were to walk out the door and look around, it would all look fine.
Yes.
you can't tell by driving around.
Yep.
That these things are happening. So, you know, if you're not involved with your city council, you probably ought to be.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
thanks
thank
a bunch.
You, Patrick.
You guys have fun.
Thanks, Patrick.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
See you guys.
Talking about Sweet Little Lies.
Yeah. Man, you know, city government becomes a, you know, you think it, because it's smaller, right? Everybody complains bitterly about the federal government all the time. But even when you bring it down to a little city with 90,000 people, you got all this stuff churning around.
Yeah, there's so much going on, and people, well, it's like Patrick said, you know, we're all busy. We all have things to do, and so much of it you think doesn't affect you. So
you're not an expert in it. You don't work in it every day, so you kind of trust the people who do, and
hope they make the right decisions. But gosh, some of this is so underhanded. I mean, it's amazing that it's able to go on.
Yeah, we didn't really get into the whole part with the Shell Oil bribery thing because there's a whole bunch more to that.
Yeah.
I did read a big long thing on it, and I would have loved to have added more, but I don't remember where I read it. Somebody sent it to me quite a while back, and I thought, okay, that's fantastic.
Well, you're dealing with a lot of money there. That's not small time.
Sure, and if nobody's going to hold you accountable, you know, it always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to hold you accountable, well, then things just happen. I was looking at this this thing on the guy that just killed the Sacramento County deputy, and the assistant U.S. attorney warned a federal judge not to release Thomas Littlecloud last summer, saying he had talked about shooting police and rammed police cars before to try to get away. But, you know, the defense attorney said he's trying to change his life and, you know, gosh, I didn't know that my life mattered, so I'm making decisions. It was only until I was sitting in jail I realized I hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first clue?
Oh, that worked out great.
Yeah.
You know, obviously has a meth problem and all sorts of other stuff, so he gets out and what does he do?
Exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, she says, I'm going to allow Mr. Littlecloud to go to Newbridge with grave misgivings. I have to tell you, Mr. Littlecloud, you're not going to get any second chances here. One violation of the rules and you're going straight back to jail. Well, the bad part is he killed somebody. So that's where our, our thoughts on justice these days are going. We don't seem to want to put anybody in jail for a long time because, well, it's too much meanness there.
Well, and then I think the big thing is just we're releasing, it seems like, more and more violent people to lower the numbers in our prisons. I mean, we basically released all the lesser offenders, and now we're left with just the medium offender guys.
The car thieves and the burglars and the muggers. So and
we'll let them out. And if they reoffend, at least nobody's going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, like, please. Yeah.
Non-serious, non-sexual, non-violent, right? Yeah. Those are the three nons. Well, the kicker with all that, too, is, you know, you look at what we've been talking about for the last hour and 45 minutes, and so as city government starts to run out of money,
mm-hmm.
And you find out that the police and fire are 65% of the city's budget, well,
as they cut back on that and increase on these prisoner releases, we're really putting ourselves in a pickle.
Well, and the state, of course, is blowing massive amounts of money on Governor Jerry Brown's bullet train and other ridiculousness and obviously climate change is a huge issue. I mean, it blows my mind. People are still freaking out about that. Oh, we should be spending all our money on climate change. We need to get back into the Paris Agreement. This is crazy.
Yeah, well, guess what's affecting us right now?
Yeah.
Big time.
They would tell you we need to plan more for the future, but anyway.
Or worry about the fat guy in North Korea.
Yeah, there was
the fat guy with the bombs.
Yeah, there was a little thing on it was a Facebook meme, and it was Robert E. Lee. He's like, "Well, I appreciate my recent notoriety, but you guys really ought to be looking at that fat little guy with the bombs over there in Korea." I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. I guess you can't get away from that. Every time you turn around, there's something. There was another. In random news here, we're doing random news. We didn't really know Patrick was leaving early. Full confession, since I'm sure you can probably tell. We're like, da 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 da. But I thought this was bizarre. We do a lot of program material on, various environmental craziness. I work a lot with environmental craziness, so I guess it's on my mind quite a bit. Well, up in Shasta Valley. So it would be up by, if you actually live in Northern California, it's right where Louis Road cuts off up in Siskiyou County. So it's kind of up in the high desert a little bit up there and not a lot going on up there. Well, some time back, and I don't have all the details at my fingertips because I wasn't planning on talking about it today, but there was a ranch owned by some people whose last name was Busk. And so the Busk Ranch was sold to the Nature Conservancy. It was like $14 million, I believe I was told. So, moving forward, what does the Nature Conservancy do? Well, gee whiz, they strip off the water rights and give them to Fish and Game.
Oh.
So they can use them for the fish.
Fish habitat.
Right. It's all about the fish. So, maybe we should take that out of their name. They're all Fish and Wildlife now, right? Maybe we should just take out the fish part.
Yeah.
Because it seems to have them mesmerized. It's all about fish. On this property, there were a couple, I don't know if it was two or three, dams that held water. It's about 1,000 acres of wetlands. Been there forever. Well, because they want to make sure all the water goes to the fish, they're taking out these earthen dams and literally dewatering the wetlands. Goodbye, 1,000 acres of wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Could you imagine if you tried that on your property? Oh, my gosh, you go to prison. You can barely.
That's kind of counter what they've been working at the last 25 years, making everything a wetland, it seems like.
Yeah. So
the dams are bad.
Yeah. So they're just going to take out these earthen dams. They're gonna let this all go. So this is actually part of a program. So now the county. Now Nature Conservancy doesn't want the ground anymore. So they buy it for $14 million. It's now going to be worth like two because it has it has no water rights. So what does that do to the county's property taxes? Mm-hmm. You start to look at all the fallout from all that. So, and that's affecting a county government, not a city government.
Right.
But all these things come back and are going to put pressure on the taxpayer. And all that's being done with taxpayer money, too. I mean, Federal Fish and Wildlife and State Fish and Wildlife all signed off on this thing. And I just found out about it the other day. I can't believe no one, called or did anything. But they currently, here, I was just looking at this article.
If this happened in the private sector, these people would be going to prison.
Bernie
Madoff.
Super be in prison. It's like,
you wouldn't even need a trial.
It's like, you can't do that. You can't destroy that wetlands. Like, say they wanted to build a subdivision there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's sacred ground.
Besides the fact it makes no sense to have a subdivision there. But if it was anywhere else and you wanted to do that, oh, my gosh, you'd be in deep trouble. So one of the major reasons the county disagrees with the sale of the property, I'm reading out of the article here, to California Fish and Wildlife, is the state already owes the county thousands of dollars in property tax offsets. He stated that the Nature Conservancy currently pays about $26,000 in property tax on the Big Springs Ranch. And the county fears that it'll lose the revenue if the state were now to own the property. Well, if the state owned the property, they can't do anything with it because all they want is the water right.
Right.
So they can put it in for the fish. Oh, and by the way, Fish and Wildlife didn't respond by press time, so we don't know what they think about it. I'm going to do a little homework on this thing because this really, I think, needs to be... needs to be told. They bought the ranch. The Nature Conservancy bought it back in 2009, I guess. So it's been going that long. But how nuts is that? We have farmers who can't plow their field to put in crops that they've done for over 100 years because, you know, rain might collect. Mm-hmm. Got a small depression of ground. Rain there. That's wetlands. But you got 1,000 acres that's historically been wetlands, and you can just make that go away. Because you know what? We just want the water. Oh, well, okay. As long as you want the water.
Yeah.
Shoot. I don't know. Anyway, don't get me started. But the good news is my rant lasted long enough. And you guys are all just sitting here. I just want people to realize what I'm looking at here. I got these three guys. We got Robert over here waiting to get the copy so we can do our commercial free. Bill's looking at me. Bob's looking at me. It's like, hey,
you go, girl.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
We're all sitting at rapt attention.
Oil up those lips and start talking.
I am outraged. If I had more time, I would cut loose on this one, but you've talked right over the top of me now, and I can't even get a word in edgewise, because I am. I'm outraged over this thing.
Cue the deer.
Cue. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And how about that Hurricane Irma?
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, we'll
find out what's left of Tampa next week.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it sucked all the water off the beach, or it sucked the water out of the ocean, and now they have a lot more beach or something there now. So,
well, you know, they had that fake Boca Raton they were going to tow out there to try to lure Irma out into the ocean.
It worked. Now it's coming up the Gulf.
All right, we'll see you next week. We've got a fun show next week for you. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.